We present the news quiz with your chairman, Barry Took.
Hello and welcome to another resume of the week's news. Which week, though, I'm not saying. Before we meet the teams, however, we welcome Brian Perkins, who has a cutting from the Bournemouth Evening Echo.
Volcanic dust from eruptions of Mount Pinatubo volcano in the Philippines has reached Australian skies, lengthening the glow of sunsets and creating brilliant vistas which are confusing chickens.
Thanks a lot to confuse an Australian chook. We'd like to thank Barry Howard of Christchurch in Dorset for sending us that. Time now to introduce the panellists. On my right, the pair who would appear to have quite a lot in common with Australian wildfowl. Richard Ingrams and Ian Hislop. Whilst on my left, we have the cocksure partnership of Clive Anderson and Alan Corran. Round one begins with an advertisement scene in the Cheltenham News.
Lost, a white Marks & Spencer's bag in Marks & Spencer's on Friday, containing a piece of embroidery, a ruler, and a bag of grapes. Sentimental value.
Well, many thanks to Robin Wager for supplying us with that. Richard, first question for you. Who came home to a very special welcome after 5 long years?
Is this anything to do with the corn circles?
No, this is Kenneth Baker. He'd been on holiday for 5 years, trying to ride out the storm over his incompetence. And then he came home and resigned.
They're trying to humiliate us by making us win, I think.
Well, that's one way of putting it, yeah.
They think that between us, we haven't seen the news about the release of...
That chappy with...
Well, it's his...
McCartney. How did you feel when you heard the news? I felt exhilarated.
How did you feel when you got this question wrong, Richard? I expect you felt rather elated.
I did. I felt elated, and at the same time, I felt depressed.
I felt terrific asking it. How about you, Barry?
Well, I thought much the same as Richard.
Anyway, there you go. McCartney's the answer.
He wasn't released, he was just transferred to Brixton.
Which is exactly the same as being released, as you probably know.
It's like...
However, all right, I don't mind if it takes you time. It really doesn't. I've got all the time in the world. The answer is, of course, British journalist John McCarthy, who, having been released from captivity in Beirut, has seen the light of day for the first time since April 1986, something his captors have yet to do. Ian, who's still ringing up big profits?
Who's still ringing up big profits? Oh, this has got to be Telecom, hasn't it?
Yes.
Another of the great monopolies.
Right.
Have they made even more money this quarter?
They have, indeed.
They charge me even more than ever. So I presume they've made even more money. Is that it?
Exactly it.
God, that's hardly news. Telecom rips everyone off.
Well, as it happens...
Not much of a story, is it?
Well, as it happens every week, I suppose it's sort of... Apparently topical. It concerns British Telecom, you're quite right. The country's number one favourite communications monopoly. Backing all economic trends, they've managed to return record-breaking quarterly profits yet again, up 11.4% to £825 million. This is largely attributed to a modern, sophisticated marketing technique known as charging what you bloody well like. Clive. Who was savaged by his own watchdog?
You've softened up the teams here with two very easy questions.
That's right.
Dogs are always in the news. This must be a Rottweiler story.
No, it's human being known as watchdog.
A human being
It's
named...
a public body.
Oh, it's obviously off-tell or off-what or get off. Or
get off, sod off or something. Over my head as a thought.
Sir.
This is clearly a reference to Douglas Hurd, who's going to be giving evidence at... not that clearly, actually.
No, I'm afraid Arthur Kersler is not with you tonight.
I'm looking for assistance from my team captain who's just left the building.
There's been a late news flash. Richard Ingram knows the answer to one question.
Well, I'm going to hazard...
Hang on, folks. They know something.
I'm going to hazard a guess here. Yeah, it's something to do with our old friends, British Rail.
Yes.
Am I right, Mr. Chairman?
You are, sir.
Oh, good
heavens.
Well
done.
Let's have the details now.
Yeah. Well, every so often, there's this old brigadier, Johnny, who keeps watch on British Rail on behalf of all of us. And he issues a report saying that none of the trains are on time. And British Rail says, yes, they are, and that's it. That happens once here, and that's what's happened this week.
Well, I've just thought of the answer to that question, then. It's a bit late, like the British Rail trains.
Absolutely so. This does refer to the report by the Central Transport Consultative Committee, which revealed that public dissatisfaction with British Rail has never been higher. Crikey, that's news. Spreading this message. Oh, yes, a lady there.
I've been a commuter for 20 years.
Oh. I've never reached a destination yet.
Can you wonder that I am as I am?
No, not really. No, well, I knew it was something. Alan, guess what?
And the captain go show, and the sailor go to. Mine, captain, mine, some evil spirit on board your boat. I'm a ring, ting, ting, I'm a ring, ting, ting.
And the question is, who waved goodbye with his hands?
This is a captain, dressed in cami knickers and a petal hat and high-heeled shoes, who got into a boat when they shouted, female captains first. And then the thing went down by the bow, as I remember.
Yeah.
And did anybody die in it?
No, nobody died.
Oh, thank God. Because I wouldn't like to do that. But I saw that 15 were missing and were believed to be, they said, in remote Greek resorts. I don't know how you get to a remote Greek resort from this boat. It was obviously a better place to be. I can't remember the name of it, but it went down like a brick. And the captain was first in the queue.
That's right.
I'm told. It is alleged.
No, he said that he left the boat to supervise the rescue operation from the shore. which convinced me, I must say.
Yes, as a barrister, you would be quite welcome to sort of cross-examination on that one.
Absolutely. I'm prepared to represent him in his libel action against Alan Corran. So
that all ended happily.
He gave an interview about the week before to a magazine saying if the boat were ever to go down, I'd be the first off the boat, which is an unfortunate thing for him to have said. But he thought he'd better stick to it now he'd given the interview. But it's all right because everyone was saved.
But they were got off by the British entertainment staff.
That's right.
Tommy Tinkle and Susie Sparkle.
They decided to carry on with their act and everybody dived overboard quickly. Another triumphal light end.
And I give you the score at the end of the round. The scores are Alan and Clive 2, but Richard and Ian well in the lead with 5. We open round 2 with a notice from a Nova Scotia church bulletin.
At a meeting of the Cemetery Commission, the burial rates were increased slightly to reflect the higher cost of living.
That was spotted in the Times by Mrs. M. Yates of London. Richard, who had more than a degree of surprising success?
More than a degree of surprising success. I think that amazing performance in the first round may prove to be something of a fluke.
You think it sapped your strength? This is a royal question.
A royal question?
Yep.
To do with degrees. The royal family don't get degrees.
No, no.
Well, yes, they do. They get the 3 degrees to perform at their dinners.
Oh, very good. Very witty. And who are the 3 degrees, may I ask?
They're somewhat older than Jason Donovan. Though rather younger than you.
Very good.
Anybody know?
Most of the royal family got on one of these Greek boats and went on a cruise, which was asking for trouble, I would have thought. It belonged to this curious, reclusive millionaire called Mr. Latsis.
That's all right, one of them speaks the language. And,
do we know this?
Will you listen to my story? You've had your say. They went on this ship. It was all billed as a sort of repeat honeymoon for Charles and Diana, but it turned out that at least half the other members of the royal family were also on board, getting a cheap holiday at the expense of this benevolent millionaire.
Well, they go as a package, don't they?
Yes. You'd think they could afford, they've got this yacht, the Britannia, and you'd think they could sort of go in their own boat, but they don't.
They fancied a change of yacht. All right.
Anyway, it's nothing to do with that, is it?
No, it's nothing to do with that.
But I thought it's all about
the Duchess of York, whose intellectual credentials include membership of the Xerox School of Writers, Thank you. I don't mind how few as long as there's some. Is to become Chancellor of Salford University. Now, she might make a better job as Chancellor of the Exchequer, but then who wouldn't? This despite her holding just 6 O-levels plus CSEs in maths and geography. And she still can't add up how many times she's been abroad. However, Ian, who got the bullet for the gun he didn't find?
Oh, yes. This is Mr. Reg Withers.
Yes.
Who's the governor of Brixton Jail.
Yes.
Who failed to stop Kenneth Baker escaping.
He went on a cruise too, didn't he?
He did. No, Reg Withers was warned that these IRA men were going to escape. So he put them in a different cell and then let them out to go to chapel and hang around and whatever else they do in prison, and then they escaped. But he did actually warn Kenneth Baker. And Kenneth Baker didn't mention this the first time. He said he wouldn't resign. So he may yet resign, we don't know.
Really? It's interesting.
It's fascinating.
Yes, you're absolutely right. This is the story of the governor of Brixton Prison, who is to take early retirement after he unfortunately lost 2 suspected IRA terrorists, despite several warnings. Ex-governor Reg Withers, or as he's known to his workmates, Reg No Longer Withers. Okay, this week's outing victim... That's not bad.
BBC.
And he claims that he's been made an escape goat. Rumble, rumble, rumble. Clive, have some music.
Look at the lawman beating up the wrong guy. Oh, man, when will he ever know? He's in the best-selling show. Is there life on Mars?
Question, where might we be able to work, rest and play in the distant future?
We've obviously taken the standard down of question to help me out. You've had the word Mars included in the song, and work, rest and play is one of the longest used advertising slogans of all time. So this is clearly a question about Venus. And I've seen a headline this week about Mars. It's something to do with it may be possible to grow vegetables on Mars, so that must have been above a story saying it would be possible to go there and to grow chocolate bars and things like that. So I'm desperately hoping that's right, so I need to get one question right this week.
You do get one question right, you get it absolutely right. This refers to the research of 3 American scientists who claim to have devised a method which could create conditions for life on Mars by harnessing some of the Earth's most damaging pollutants, such as CFCs, car exhaust emissions, and the Reverend Ian Paisley. They argue that life for humans may be possible.
I like that Withers joke.
That's all. Now then, Alan, where has putting on a poor show become a half-decent business?
Well, here. Or putting on... There was a story...
Yes, I think they deserve a bonus for that. And
there was a story of the police saying that half the beggars in London really have houses to go home to and therefore you shouldn't give money to beggars. Is that the story?
That's exactly it. That's the story, and you get your team's points for that.
I don't know. I'm a bit suspicious of that reporter, please, because they're arresting people and then saying, have you got a home to go to? And if you say no, then they'll be kept in custody. If you say you have got a home to go to, then you let out on bail.
Ah.
So, not surprisingly, you have an awful lot of people claiming to have homes. But that's, that's me.
There's a legal mind at work.
Ken Spark speaks, I'm afraid.
Very good.
But anyway, half the people who are begging really have homes to go to, and they have huge mansions in Hampstead Garden suburb.
That's right.
And their cardboard box is flown to them by courier.
So that's right. Absolutely right.
It is alleged.
It is alleged, indeed. And the scores at the end of that round are still rather amazing, because Alan and Clive have pulled up to 6, but Ian and Richard are still in the lead with 7. Let's take time out now to see what's happening with the weather.
Tonight, dry and cloudy at first, with some light towards dawn.
Our thanks to A.R. Bennett of Blackpool for keeping us informed on that point. Richard, your question again. What shouldn't be in the Royal Doghouse?
I think it's rather like being in the England cricket team, isn't it? You feel each time we're doing, we might be doing rather better this time. We somehow managed to let you down, didn't we? Is it to do with corgis?
It is to do with corgis, yes.
That's one run.
Well, I think there was some doggy body, I can't remember who, decreed that corgis were non-ewe.
That's right.
Sort of inferior dogs like rotties and things.
That's right.
Which they are. I mean, they, as you know, they savaged the Queen Mother. They were set upon by these royal Rottweilers.
The answer, as you so rightly say, is corgis, favourites of the royal family, which have been branded yob dogs by top people's magazine Harper's and Queen. They say this bad-tempered, yappy little breed are no longer considered socially acceptable companions for English gentlefolk, and neither are the corgis.
Withers one was good.
Ian, listen to this.
Three wheels on my wagon, and I'm still rolling along. The Cherokees are chasing me, arrows fly right on by, but I'm singing a happy song. I'm singing a higgity-haggity-hoggity-high. Pioneers, they never say die.
I've never heard
that. That was three wheels on my wagon.
It was indeed. And your question is, what has been pulled back on the road by fools and horses?
Pulled back on the road
by fools
and horses.
Well, they're not going to
get wagons.
Three wheels
on my wagon. Three wheels, the Robin, little cars, Reliant Robins.
Robin Day.
The Reliant Robin Day. No?
Yes,
the Reliant Robin Smith always gets three or four runs. Unfair. I'm sure Alan knows the answer to this question.
Well, you've just given me the answer. Can you add to it?
Got 54 by Thursday evening. No, they've got it. I mean, this thing that looks like an invalid car. I don't mean a car for invalids. It actually looks like an invalid car, which features largely in Only Fools and Horses. Has been bought. It went bust, and a Birmingham company has bought it out for £1 million. And they're going to threaten the lives of everyone, it is alleged, by putting it back on the road. It's like a shoe with wheels. Have you seen it? roller skate for derelicts. But they're doing it. Why it's called the Reliant, God only knows.
The return of the Reliant to the nation's roads has been welcomed by other motorists, particularly the owners of Ladas and Skodas. Because at long last, they'll have something to joke about. Clive, your question again. Where might some strangers look like they've seen a ghost?
Oh, phew, this is a story I've seen. It's a rather bizarre thing. Old MPs who've been booted out of office are now going to be allowed to come back into the House of Commons and hang around in the bar. I hope this is right, because
absolutely
I haven't dreamt
right,
this, have
yes.
I? So these poor old people who everyone's, you know, doesn't want to hear another word from, they'll be able to enjoy all the benefits of being an MP, i.e. getting drunk all hours of day or night, without all the tiresome responsibility of having to go and appear on
get
the television.
Get drunk again in the evening. Yeah.
So this is a great, great thing. And the MPs voted this through pretty pronto, when they, especially with an election coming up. The government benches are rather keen to be able to still go to Annie's Bar and all those other places.
In other words, members who aren't members and are only special because they've lost their seats will join a bunch of strangers who will know each other. It seems like a nice, sensible idea until you realise it will let back in the lights of Enoch Powell, Jeremy Thorpe, and yes, one day, even the ghost of Finchley Park. You mustn't mention her name as it's unlucky.
Lady Macbeth.
Ah! We be doomed. We all got a touch of the doom. Alan, which cars failed the acid test?
There was a story, it was only in one paper, about hundreds and hundreds of cars that were left out, and they all fell to pieces as a result of rain falling on them. Sorry? These are not Reliant anythings. I don't know who made them. They're not Porsches, because they won't be turning up at the motor fair. They are British, probably.
No,
if they're not French.
They're French.
They're French.
Peugeots. Citroens.
Oh, really?
Citroens. They've got acid rain on them.
They did.
This is jolly interesting.
No, I'll tell you about this one. I'll tell you about this acid rain and all that stuff. It's a fleet of brand new unregistered Peugeots and Citroens stored at Sandwich in Kent, which sustained more than £6 million worth of damage in an unprovoked black acid rain attack from neighbouring Richborough power station following its conversion to a special new kind of Venezuelan fuel. This is said to have many beneficial advantages, not least of which appears to be helping to reduce the level of car imports. Thought you'd like to know that, and we press on. But before we press on, let me give you the scores, which remarkably are now tied at 11 all. Well played. Time for the last round now, which opens with a letter sent to the Wymondham and Attleborough Mercury.
May I thank everyone for their support on July the 13th at the Wayland Fete. The Guess the Amount of Screws competition was won by an Attleborough lady with 400 screws.
Well, it's a competition about Brixton Prison. Guess the number of screws. None.
No, but we have to thank Mrs. C. Halls of Wymondham for letting us have that one. Good heavens. Richard, here's some music for you.
When the weather is fine, then you know it's a sign for messing about on the river. If you take my advice, there's nothing so nice as messing about on the river. There are long boats and short boats and all sorts of craft, cruisers and keelboats and some with no draft. So take off your coat, hop in the boat, go messing about on the...
Where didn't the crew take the message on board?
Did you hear Barbara Cartland being interviewed by Dr. Anthony Clare? She was frightened.
No.
Yeah, much better than this rubbish. I don't know why they didn't repeat it.
I can't think.
We've done all these boats.
It's not a boat one. I knew we'd stand no chance with this one, Richard. None at all.
Messing about on the river.
It's a messing about, really, rather
than Telegraph.
And water. Water is involved. Messing about involved. Sex is involved. Safe sex is involved.
It's not Captain Condom.
It is Captain Condom.
This one's about Cow's Week.
Yes.
Spelt with an E. And there is something like the Hampshire Condom Authority. It's got a boat and a Captain Birdseye, a bloke with a beard and a wooden leg, and presumably other prosthetic accoutrements which enable him to demonstrate the common sense of a rubber buffer to prevent you banging yourself against the side of anything, which is apparently what happens in Cowes. I don't think they do a lot of racing. It's all these girls from Harper's Queen that go down with their corgis in order to cook for men naturally end up with a lot of jolly rogering. And
can we move on now? I think
But Alan deserves a bonus for knowing all that story.
No, of course you get the you get the bonus for knowing that one.
Absolutely, bonus.
Yes,
absolutely right. You're absolutely right, Alan. Every respect. This is superhero Captain Condom. Sorry, I never thought I'd have to read that.
He's ordinary Billy Condom for most of the week, but then he gets in. Gets into a phone booth and shouts something unspeakable, and he turns in.
You can't buy them in a phone booth, Alan. That turns slots in... for something completely different.
Anyway, he comes out looking like a giant sou'wester. As I understand it. Do you remember that bloke on the used to be on the label of Scott's Emulsion dragging a cod over his shoulder? It's a bit like that, and he hasn't got fins. Unless you're in a Robin Reliant.
It's impossible in the back of a Robin Reliant.
Oh, we have finally achieved it, the unbroadcastable radio show. It's all about superhero Captain Condom, who armed with leaflets.
Oh,
If he's dressed up in it, how could he get about?
He goes around in a rubber dinghy, doesn't he?
I'll try yet again. This is superhero Captain Condom, who, armed with leaflets, is on the Isle of Wight, health authority, encouraged the use of contraceptives during Cow's Week, where until now safe sex meant wearing a life jacket in bed. Talking of romance...
The marriage took place on July the 24th between Lord Bolton and Mrs. Lavinia Fenton at Dunoon during a lull in the fishing.
And many thanks to Barbara Pipes of Derby for tearing herself away from what she usually was doing to tell us that. Before I read the final scores, it's time for the team's cuttings. Have you got a cutting for us, Richard?
An interesting piece of legal news from America. It says the lawyer for a Taiwanese immigrant accused of taking part in the murders of three Vietnamese youths asked a Manhattan judge today to subpoena a boa constrictor on the ground that the police had used the snake as an instrument of terror to coerce a confession. A police spokesman said that the snake belonged to an officer assigned to the First Precinct Station House and that the officer had left it there because he could no longer take care of it. The snake, Maxwell, is kept in a fish tank in the scooter room where it is fed three mice a day.
Gosh, that's one up on Captain Condom anyway. Ian,
I have a cutting from the Nursing Standard. It says Ashworth Hospital has launched a high-level internal inquiry after allegations that nurses showed pornographic films to patients. The unit general manager said he was extremely concerned about the allegations and had set up a team of hospital managers to investigate the matter urgently. He vowed to take appropriate action when the picture becomes clearer.
Well, that's interesting. Clive, have you bought something for us?
No, I've got one here, which is from the Dundee Courier and Advertiser, which is, in a scheme being run in Dundee, a group of secondary pupils will be allowed to skip classes today in an effort to stop them playing truant.
Alan, what have you brought for us?
One from the Oxford Mail. James Ferry, 25, has been fined £100 for endangering traffic by running onto the M40 near Wallingford. He apologised to the court, saying, "You see a lot of dead hedgehogs and rabbits, but I'd never seen a dead stoat before, and I wanted it for my collection." "There was no traffic about when I started, but it took longer than I expected to get it off. I only had a nail file."
And the only thing that could follow that are the scores, which are Richard and Ian, 11, but Clive and Alan, a remarkable recovery, 16, this week's winners. Before we leave you, Brian has a very surprising statistic seen in the Daily Telegraph by Gordon H. Brown of Skipton.
A quarter of US plastic surgery patients are now men.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Richard Ingram, Ian Hislop, Clive Anderson and Alan Corran. The chairman was Barry Took and the news was read by me, Brian Perkins. The programme was written by Ian Pattinson and Robert Fraser-Steele. The producer was Diane Messias.